All right. You know, it's crazy how nervous I was doing this. Like, I preach, you know, and I'm way less nervous than talking about myself. So I'll try to keep it to under 1 hour. You're welcome. So for most of you guys who know, I'm Joshua Williams. I've been here 2 years on February. It'll be February, on the 15th. I will have been here 2 years serving as our student minister. I came to faith as an 11-year-old and was baptized in 2002 and have been a believer since then. I felt my call to, this guy's excited, I felt called to ministry at the same time that I felt my call to salvation. I didn't walk an aisle when I became a Christian. I didn't have this really explosive moment in my life. I just remember feeling the conviction of sin. And I remember one day going, this Jesus thing is real. And since then, it's really changed my life. I mean, I've been on a completely different track. The Lord has really opened up doors for me to serve in various parts of leadership. I went to Howard Payne University, Stingham, which this is such a masculine thing. But they should probably work on that. To study Bible. So I got my bachelor's in Bible. After that, I felt God was calling me to preach and teach. I didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. I think that can mean a lot of things, right? It can mean Sunday school. It can mean various areas of ministry. But I felt like I needed to do that. And I felt to do that, I needed to be further equipped. So we moved to Louisville, Kentucky for me to go to seminary. And I got my master's degree. And about halfway through my seminary degree, I believed this thought, that I don't really need the church. I would never have told anybody that. I would have never had said, hey, I don't believe that I need the church. But functionally, my heart thought I could do my own reading. I could do my own studying. And that I didn't really need the church until God brought me to my knees. And God brought me to my knees because we, at that point, and I get emotional, and some of you guys know the story, but we've had 3 miscarriages. We have 2 daughters, 2 beautiful daughters. Two of those miscarriages happened in my time in seminary. I took a whole semester off, questioned whether or not I wanted to continue, if I even believed in ministry anymore at that point. And what God taught me was that for the first time in my life, I needed a church. And it changed me. I took a semester off, and the Lord had somehow just, I just poured into my church, tried to pour into my wife, and we just poured into my church. And I realized that in my first couple of years of seminary, I had neglected serving the church in lieu of doing homework. An institution that was created to go serve the church became a distraction from the church. And so 2 years in, I remember thinking, God, you've called me and given me this new passion. We left this kind of hip church that we were going to that had, you know, lasers and all fancy things. And we went to a church of about 65 people. And at that point in time, I grew so much because it gave me an opportunity to serve, to see what the needs were, and it gave me an opportunity to actually receive love from people, the church. And it changed me. In fact, it changed me so much that after I took that semester off, I went back to seminary, and I got some bad grades at different points on purpose for the fact that I was not going to let that interfere with my church involvement. That if seminary and all this training was meant to be serving the church, then my wife came first and my church came second. And so that's kind of my experience. I feel now, the reason that I'm up here, and some of you go, okay, we'll get to the end of it. Why are you feeling called to be an elder? Honestly, because God told me to. I don't have a good answer other than the fact that I felt Jesus was telling me to. And I'll be honest, I fought it for a little bit. And I'll tell you why I fought it. When I started student ministry here, and I've been doing ministry vocationally on and off since 2006. But I remember when I took the position here, I remember in the parsonage, and this may be a little TMI, but I remember being in the parsonage, and I was in the shower, an image you'll never forget now. And I remember crying. Like, I remember, like, just crying, and I was like, what is going on with me? And then it hit me. We can study all day long. I could study all day long about what it means to care for souls. But when you feel the weight, and this is student ministry, the future of our church, right? We're talking, you know, at the max, probably 30 students at this point. That's like, you know, high max. And even at that level, I remember crying, going, God, I don't know if I can do this. Like, God, it's going to have to be you. Like, I just, in my own strength, I just don't feel like I can do this. And so God's faithful, and God has carried me in and through those times. And at this point in time, I know that God's calling me to do more. And I feel like that he's given me a passion to care for more souls in a different capacity. And I believe that that calling on my life that made me move 800 miles to Louisville, Kentucky, was to preach and teach. And I feel like I've been faithful in doing that in student ministry. And I've been faithful, I hope that I've been faithful to do that. But I feel the Lord calling me to more. And so every time I get up here and I get an opportunity to preach, it's different. It's not like Brian where he has to do it week in and week out. There's a lot of pressure that he feels. And I respect him for that. But I feel something in me saying, Joshua, you need to do more. And the Lord is telling me, I want you to step out in faith and trust me that I'm going to give you what you need to care for the souls of people in this church. And so my heart really is to love people. It is to serve you. I think part of the reason, and of course we never know why God puts us through suffering all the time. I think part of our suffering in our time at seminary, though it was hard, was to bring me to a point where today I can say I love the church. And I think before I would have said, told you that I love the church, but I don't know that I'll be honest. I don't know that I would have really deep down have meant it. So I need you. And it's my prayer that I can be of any help and a service to you. And I'm indebted to the church, and I'm indebted to what Christ has done. If the church was so important that Christ died for it, it's good enough for me to serve. And so that's my heart. That's my passion. I still feel called to preach and teach. I don't know, as we move in, if, Lord willing, vote your conscience. If I'm voted in as an elder, we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. I'll be honest, I have a desire to preach. I have a desire to be faithful in that area. But that's something that the elders, and that's something that you guys as a church will have to stand behind and support as we flesh those things out and all of these transitions. But I do know one thing. I do know God's called me. I do know that, more importantly, God's not done with FBC Ferris. And I feel that this overwhelming sense of, like, I've had varying emotions where I've tried talking myself out of this elder thing. And I've thought to myself, you know, like, do I really want that responsibility? And all my questions were pretty much selfish. Like, all the reasons that I wanted not to do it was because basically I was scared. And basically I was just being selfish. So I feel like the Lord has brought me to a place where I've resigned to the fact that, God, I'm going to do this. And I'm thankful for that. But I know that God is not finished with this town. I know that God is not finished in this city. I know that the gospel is just as real now as it ever has been. And there's a darkness over this city. And I've said it, and I love this town, but just being honest with you, when I drive over a certain, by kind of Covenant, I kind of like, I'm coming into town. I'm kind of weird like this. I kind of feel this heaviness. Like, I kind of feel like there's darkness kind of in our town. But I know that the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. And I know that that tells me even more so that we are called to be here. And the fact is that, you know, what did Jesus say, right? He doesn't go to the ones that are well. He goes to the sick and to the needy. And that's everywhere, right? There's brokenness everywhere. It's not just Ferris. It's everywhere. But I firmly believe that there's work to be done in this town. And I think God is calling me to help do that. Lord willing, you know, vote your conscience. But that's my heart. So I'm uncomfortable when I'm not preaching, talking. So because the tension's on me and it kind of weirds me out a little bit. So, but that's my heart. My heart is to love you. My heart is to serve you. And let's be real. Am I going to fail you? Yeah. I hope not morally, right? No minister or elder that has stood up here or pastor who's ever taken the responsibility of leading God's people has done so without some sort of failure. And but my prayer is that I look more like Jesus every day. That I hope, I pray that I can model that. And I pray that I can encourage you in your faith. And if we believe in the Bible, Acts 17:26, it's one of my favorite verses, talks about how God sets God puts people at a certain time in a certain place, which means I was born in the 80s, amen, right? For a reason. It was a great, great decade. So, I mean, I didn't experience most of it. I was born at the end of it. But God prepares that for a reason, and he puts us at a place for a reason. And God has me here, I don't think by accident, and I know God does not have you here by accident. And God is not calling Brian and Kelly and their family, as stressful as it is, but they're being faithful. God's not calling them to Illinois by accident. Like, that's God's will for them. And so, I think this elder transition is God's will. I do. I think it's healthy. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do with our church. Are there going to be growing pains? Yep. But guess who's faithful? God is. And so more than any other leader in this church, or presumably any other leader in this church, we have one leader that is will never fail you, and that's Jesus. So it's my hope that I lean on him. I've had some questions about my age. I'm 29. I've had people go, hey, aren't you a little young? And I go, well, maybe. I can't deny the fact that I don't have as much life experience as some of the other men who've stood up here as elders. That is a reality. But I can tell you my heart is that when there's areas that I don't know, that I'm going to go to resources. I'm going to reach out to people that I trust, and I'm going to ask them questions. And I pray that I grow through that experience, right? There's areas that we need to grow, and sometimes we just don't grow until we get put in that position. And so I'm fully aware of my age, but I'm also fully aware of what God has done in my life, even in my age, and what God has allowed me to serve in various positions, even at the age of 29. And I'm thankful for that. I don't brag about it. I'm just thankful. So I love you. I hope that you feel loved by me. And Pastor, I think that's all I got to say, man. I don't know what else to say.
Thanks, Joshua. I appreciate the honesty.